We'll just open it up for questions. I think we'll do our injury report on Wednesday, but nothing really new to report, whether it was any surgeries or any of that type of thing on the guys that have been put on IR or really any updates on the injured players from Saturday. We'll open it up.
John, obviously you guys practice, prepare to win every game, but the opponent coming up is in a pretty rare circumstance to be winless this late in the season. What, if anything, do you say to your guys about, you know, the Browns being winless and not being that team that slips against them?
Well, I think, you know, that's not one of the emphasis for sure. You know, we look at tape. We don't look at the record, regardless who we're playing, whether they're 14-0 or 0-14.
What do you see in those guys?
Well, I see, you know, they've gotten some skilled guys back. I think, you know, actually the receivers are pretty impressive looking, to be honest with you, both Gordon and Coleman. You know, I think Deshaun's made some good plays. You know, he's very capable. Obviously, a guy that they invested a high pick in. You know, that's their offense. Defensively, they, you know, had the number one pick in the draft, and Myles Garrett. So they've got some good young players. You know, they've had some close games. I know everybody looks at results, but, you know, we look at the tape.
We've heard players throughout the season say, you know, we got to eliminate penalties. We have to find a way to do that. From your perspective, why hasn't that happened?
You know, I think, you know, in Saturday's case, you know, I think it was 5-6 at halftime. You know, we got in a little bit of a catch-up mode. I think sometimes, you know, when you a little more risk when you throw the ball as much as we did in the second half. So I think that opened you up a little bit. It was 8-2 in the second half. Me and we had 8 penalties to their 2. You know, I think in the first half, you know, not that we played well in the first half, but it wasn't due to penalties.
How much of that is focus, do you think, John? Penalties in general. How much is just being focused
Focus? I think the pre-snap penalties are a lot about focus. You know, I think, you know, whether it's holding on defense, on offense, you know, a lot of that stuff is in the eyes of the beholder. You know, we get a lot of that stuff, we turn in, we get back. You know, some of it's legit, some of it isn't. But it's the pre-snap penalties, the ones that I know get frustrating for our coaching staff. You know, the result is we just didn't execute as well, and penalties were part of it. You know, and obviously getting that return taken back, and it wouldn't have been the first time. But for whatever reason, this year there's been a lot of flags on fourth down, not just our team, around the league.
What do you attribute that inconsistency in the run game the last few weeks to?
Well, I think, you know, you got to give the defense some credit. You know, I think I was asked about why not take a shot, you know, right before half with 10 seconds. Well, when the defense has 4 guys at the goal line, it's kind of hard to take a shot. You know, a little bit like that with our run game. You know, when they're stacking 8-9 guys at the line of scrimmage and forcing you to throw, makes the run game a little more difficult.
John, how do you weigh the value? You paired it out Saturday, as you said, because you have to avoid a reason.
Right.
How do you weigh the value of Trubisky's improvement versus the couple mistakes he makes?
You know, I think that's a good question because even at the end of the game, I think, you know, when you go back and you look at the tape, you go through the mechanics, you go through the decision-making, there was really a lot of good that Mitch did. You know, I don't know that fans and everyday people, they don't get a chance to study the tape and kind of know what he's been taught and told. You know, everybody looks at the box score, they see the 3 picks, you know. But, you know, probably arguably his best game. You know, the thing I think is impressive about Mitch is, you know, there was a couple situations where we might not have been lined up right, he corrected it. We had a situation where a guy's lined up wrong, he corrected it. 3-4 weeks ago, I'm not sure that happens. You know, there was a couple of throws where, I mean, mechanically he's really sound. He's staring down the barrel with, you know, somebody right in his face, you know, and drills a completion, you know, on 3rd and 18. So there was really a lot of good. I mean, I know the results, not what everybody wants. I understand that. But as far as his growth and his maturation, I thought probably his best game. As far as just him goes, I think obviously the pick in the end zone. I know he'd like to have that one back. There weren't a lot of options, but you throw it away. One thing I've seen about Mitch, you know, we even had a screen pass the other day where it was pretty well defended. You know, we didn't avoid quite good enough, but he spiked it instead of trying to make something happen and throw it down the field, which is something he had done the week prior. So, you know, guys are going to make mistakes. You just don't want to make the same ones, and I've been very impressed with him as it relates to that.
Jim, with regard to the run game, you guys have four of the top 11 running games in the league this year, but you also have four of the lowest games, including the two lowest.
Yeah.
Even with considering matchups and circumstances, what does that disparity say to you?
Well, I think that we have to be more efficient passing the ball. If you look at it statistically as a football team, I mean, you know, we're ninth in the league in defense, 12th in points. That should win you more games than what we're at. You know, when you look at our offense, we're 28th in points, you know, 30th overall. You know, in the top 10 in rushing, but the bottom three in passing. So I'd just leave it at that.
Just overall then, with speaking of Mitch and passing, how difficult for you has it been trying to win with
the quarterback? No, I wouldn't put it on the quarterback. I think it's just the overall execution in the passing game. You know, it's not one guy. I think that's a misconception a lot of people have. I think you know, you'd like to avoid. I didn't like having a 46-pass game with regardless of who's playing quarterback. You know, but when the game unfolds that way, you're doing what it takes to win. You know, even the three picks, it's not all on one guy. So there's some execution. There's some things that whether it's protection, whether it's depth of routes, whether it's you know, the adjustment based on the leverage of the coverage. There's just a lot that goes into it that I think a lot of people don't see and understand.
Now, last year, when at the end of the, this point of the season, you had a tough loss. Last year was Green Bay. And then the bottom fell out with a couple of 20-point losses. It seemed like the team collapsed. Any sense of that? I mean, again, not to look at last season, but to avoid that kind of situation with nothing to play for.
Yeah, I don't see that. You know, I don't really recall as much as you do. Last year, I know we went toe to toe with a playoff team late here. You know, I think obviously we had a lot of turnovers in that final game against Minnesota. You know, I think the first drive we went right down the field and threw a pick. But you know, the collapse word. You know, I don't know. I saw a pretty good team get beat yesterday, 40-7. I don't know that they've collapsed. Yeah, they just think they weren't as good that day.
John, it's interesting. You don't like having a 46-pass game. I know you've been doing this a long time. You have a style.
Right.
But there's some good teams that game plan for a 40-45-pass game. Is it possible that the design of the offense needs to be adjusted to allow for more of that?
Well, I think, you know, what happens is you kind of do this and you kind of know your strengths, you know your weaknesses. I just mentioned to you some stats that I think are pretty revealing. You know, going for it on 4th-and-1 from the minus 45 in a 6-point game. You know, that's, in my opinion, not going to set up best for our team. So, you know, we're kicking an onside kick with 2-something left, you know, trying to get the ball back twice. You know, the field position is not where we ended up with the ball when we don't field a punt. The field position I'm referring to is them on offense, being in a part of the field where they've got a very strong-legged kicker that I'm fully aware of, that all of a sudden now they're kicking a field goal because you onside a kick on the plus side of the field versus the minus side of the field in a two-possession game. You know, so I think, you know, I don't know that it would be best suited for us. If you go back and look at the games we have won, I'm not sure we do that throwing it 50 times.
John, it's a little surprising to hear you talk about Mitch's possibly best game, considering how much emphasis you put on protecting the ball. And I'm just curious what you made of his three interceptions.
Well, I don't think, you know, he didn't create, you know, the situation of the game. You know, I think we did, you know, all of us. You know, again, I would do that again to try to win a game, but, you know, I don't know that in his development, whether – you know, we go to Baltimore, and I think if we try to drop back and throw it 50 times in that game, I'm not sure we get the results we get. In fact, I'm pretty darn sure we don't. So it's a little bit matchups, you know, style of play of your opponent, you know, how you match with your opponent. I think, you know, if we didn't execute a little bit better in the passing game, even in the situation we were in, not just on Mitch, I'm talking about as a team, as an offense, you know, we might get back in that game.
What's the lesson for Eddie Jackson on that 58-yard pass to Marvin Jones? How can he make that play or play that?
Well, I think, you know, at some point when you go up for a rebound, you know, you might have the guy boxed out. He might have you boxed out.
Himself to possible penalty.
Yeah, occasionally you get matchups like that. You know, it happens in our league. And like I said, they made a good play. Obviously, it was a big play in the game.
John, how's Quentin Debs come along in the time that he's been back?
You know, I think he's been a real positive force, you know, in that locker room, you know, with you know, relatively young position group, especially with Eddie. I think he's got a lot of skins on the wall as far as, you know, different situations, different defenses. You know, physically, I think we have till Thursday to make that determination, and I'm sure we'll keep you posted.
Two more, thank you, following the news down in Carolina.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Again, I don't know the ins and outs. I don't have time to see all the intricacies, but
I'd like to hear some of those stories about it.
Well, I don't know the stories. Don't really want to know the stories. I just can tell you that, you know, my dealings with them were all very, very positive, and, you know, I've got nothing but good things in my dealings with it.
Can you explain the catch rule?
The what?
You explain the catch rule.
I'd be hard pressed. You know, every time, you know, I turn on the TV or watch plays, we've made it interesting for sure. All right, thank you.